first off, Coach, just with everything complete, I know you guys do a lot in fall, individual workouts and practices, scrimmages, exhibitions. Just how would you assess fall and where this team currently is standing for you? And obviously this is year two for you, so just comfort level for you going into the second year of the program.
Well, we have 26 new players, so figuring those guys out, you know, you go through the recruiting process and you have 13 transfers and 13 freshmen and, you know, a group that's back. So I clearly know the returning players much better, and that there's a good nucleus back. And then trying to get to know the new guys and then implementing what they need to develop on the field is the key. And I feel good with where we are, Brett. I like the variety we have, like, on the field. I think the athleticism is good. There's a nice balance of left and right-handed hitting. You have some power potential. I think you have some guys that can hit for average and find their ways on base. The base running, base stealing component, probably not as noticeable as maybe the power potential with this group. I like it. When you put that group on the field, I think defensively we're better, we're more rangy, I think we're more athletic. We clearly have more depth. Like, we have options, so the strength of having depth is very nice. Then you have to figure out who fits where and how to use these pieces that you've worked very hard to recruit here. So you have just a multitude of options and where you could go with this thing. On the mound, again, I think it is paralleling the position player thought on there are a lot of variety and options and different pieces here, left and right-handed. Clearly a little deeper than we had last year. Now, we have to be healthy, which a lot of teams have to deal with some of these things on the mound that set you back. So far, you know, so good, knock on wood, that the group that we see right now returns healthy. The trickiest part of our timeline as college coaches is that the arm buildup right now is in the hands of the players. Like, they're not here and we're not around to help navigate that. They don't have our catchers to catch them as they build up. So it's critical that they manage their workload right now properly so that they're healthy and ready to go and compete when we return. So, you know, the arms in terms of the roles, we're starting to think through it. Mike and I have not really gotten deep enough in our discussions or thoughts on who starts and who relieves, but you're starting to target guys to build up in the preseason as starters. We have to ramp that pitch count up, and that will happen. You just have to see how everybody comes back and make sure there's no hiccups, you know, over the break on the mound. But overall, more depth, more variety, so you feel good going into the start of the preseason.
Going away from the field after fall ended, at least scrimmages and that stuff, you guys hired Randy Burdett as director of program development. Just what does he bring to the program? I think you've had prior relationship with him. What does that hire do for the program?
Well, he's a CEO. Like, he's an executive, and he's been an executive with many companies, Fanatics, Nike, Adidas. Like, he knows big picture thinking and vision and how to manage an operation, and having him help with the external parts of running the program. This is quite an operation. We have constant kind of work that's going on at the facility, and Adam does an awesome job running the stadium. But when we onboard people to help, like right now we're doing the tradition room, the two kitchen rooms and the locker rooms, and some of that's in my design. Randy has seen this at very high level, so he helps channel everything and keep everything on the tracks in terms of just kind of the external pieces that come in and touch the program. And then he helps our game day staff, just making sure this game day experience is what it should be at this level of athletics. And he's a pro. So, and he knows baseball. Like, he started his college career here, and then Rod Delmonico took him to Tennessee to help with their baseball program. When Rod got the job, he was Eduardo Perez's roommate. So he knows Florida State. He was retired. You know, he wanted to move his son, who's a sophomore in high school, back into a college town setting. He plays baseball, so he'll go to McClay. So this was just a great hire and you're bringing an experienced professional on board, and he clearly will help me. He has so many contacts that can help our players as they look into their future career opportunities. He's great. Like, he's a pro.
You guys also have four new coaches on staff this year with Posey, McGahee, Collison, and Hewlett, and also Stephen Ponder is the new baseball oversight this year. Just what has this transition of a staff kind of been like, and how important is the fall for you guys to kind of get comfortable with each other?
Well, you know, I've known Micah for a long time, and I've watched him hone his craft as a coach and competed against him at East Tennessee State. I watched those arms and how he developed those pitchers. Like, they pitched, but yet as they were pitching more effectively, you also saw velocity improvements. Like, I'm in the other dugout. Like, so we're trying to beat them, but my goodness, I could see early on that he had complete control of what he was doing in development of those arms. And some of them, you know, went on to the big leagues, and watched him at Elon when I was at Greensboro. So I saw it. A Conference USA Assistant Coach of the Year at Dallas Baptist, phenomenal staff, guys at Catapult through the minor league systems. Like, he's great. And the implementation of technology is so important now. There's things that we know on every thrown ball, the way you grip a changeup, a breaking ball, the way you grip a fastball, like different types of grips and how those things help each individual guy, not across the board, but these are individuals. So having somebody that understands old school pitching fundamentals and new school analytics and tactics and data and the pitching lab, most amazing thing I've seen, like, to have that capability every day. And Micah runs it, Rob Collison, and we brought him on board, and he helps Micah. The more technology and the more equipment that's in play, you need more hands to make sure it's running and set up and allowing Micah to coach. I think Rob kind of piggybacks off of Micah, but helps him manage all of this stuff that's coming out of the technology. It's a lot of info. So those two work great. I coach Ty. Ty coached with me at Auburn, won the SEC West, one of the most remarkable runs I've seen a team go on. So knows everything that I'm trying to do. The verbiage is the same. He's been at Western Kentucky and was at Monmouth and Pitt. So he knows the ACC, you know, 5 years. I think he was at Pitt for 5 years. Knowing the league and what it's like to play at these stadiums and the scouting reports and the tendencies of the teams, that's really important. And he signed players. I think we were kicking it around the other day, 39 different states, and I think he's got 56 guys that he's kind of recruited and pushed into professional baseball. So he's a veteran, and it helps, and he knows this area. He's from South Georgia. He's recruited nationally, and we're on the same page with everything we do. And Brad's still here, so Brad is awesome, and he's going to be a great head coach. And I think Ty's going to be a great head coach, and so is Micah. And when you have talented people with you, and I feel like part of my job is helping them learn how to be head coaches and help them get those jobs. And that's exactly what happened for Chuck and Rich. Like, they got fantastic head coaching jobs, and their families are in a great position because of their hard work and the jobs they got. So all of this is part of the process of trying to push people and build programs. And Stephen Ponder, he knows what this should look like. So I think his vision for how we continue to upgrade the stadium and helping fundraise. Like, he's president of the Boosters, so there's nobody that understands the fundraising needs more than Steven, and that helps us. So we're very fortunate. We're in a good position. We have great people, and you know, I know there's newness here, but it's good newness. Like, it's people that are familiar and comfortable with what's going on, and that clearly helps.
Going back to the field, you talked about the power a bit when you talked about the offense earlier. Just after last year and with the kind of the drought that you guys had offensively for a bit, and during that you kind of talked about the lack of power and the ability to just change the game with one swing. Was that a goal for you in the offseason to go out there and try to add a lot of power depth? And do you think that will kind of be the strength of this offense this year?
Well, I always hunt balance. You can't hang your hat on one thing. And I think the personnel, and once the draft comes and goes, you have to look at what you have. And you try to do a good enough job recruiting and giving yourself options, as the draft clearly is going to take some of the kids that you've signed and even your current players. But when the dust settles, you have to assess like what you have, and that is what stood out. Like last fall, we hit 6 home runs. Like that's, you know, it's not what you hope for. This year we hit 32. Now we don't scrimmage. We don't have the number of pitchers. Like there's programs that have a ton of arms, and we have what we need. There were some guys coming off summer ball and whatnot that didn't throw a lot, so we didn't accumulate the at bats that I've had in some falls. But when you just look at the ratio of the ability to simply hit balls over the fence, like it stood out. But you have Hyman, you have Tibbs, and you have Cam that have been through this. Like they just played the toughest schedule in the country, and they were right in the middle of it. So you know they're a year older. They went and played. They swung the wood bat. You'd log another 100, 150 at-bats. They're more experienced. They're more physical. Jamie, the guys are down there lifting right now. I walked up from the weight room, and those guys are in there on their own just getting after it with Jamie. It's great. Then you add a Marco, and you add a Max Williams, and you add Jackson West, and then you have Faro and Lodis and Cal Fisher, and you could just kind of go on and on. There's a natural, I think, upgrading of depth and physical capability. So that's where you are. I do think the power for me, the hitability and the power probably stood out more than anything to me offensively this fall. Like I would like Diamez, and we have guys that can run. Diamez, poor guy, that was part of our offense last year. That was when he was healthy and going, it really helped because he can run a little bit and he's a left-handed bat. When he was out, you could see the difference in just the overall length of the lineup. But hopefully he's back, and Jordan Williams provides that run tool capability. But there are guys that can run. Now, I don't know that we're the base stealing. Like, I think that is in our playbook. I don't think that is our entire playbook. So the short game and the base stealing, I'll have to see how that kind of evolves as we go. But when you go around the horn, you've got three catchers that all have some pop. You have Cam, you have the middle guys, the middle infielders have some juice. You add Cantu into the equation as a left-handed bat that's kind of a mature hitter that has some surprising power to all fields. And then you just figure out in the outfield where to go with it, and DH. You have to like the projection of hitability and some power in there.
I think from the last 2 years of production, you know how good Jaime and Tibbs are, but the way they produced and how consistently they produced this fall, coming off the full season plus the full summers they have, just how impressed were you with them this fall, and how much have you seen them grow in the year and a half you've been here?
Brett, it's been awesome. You know, and you're trying every day to give them, you know, bits and pieces of things that can help them individually. They're different hitters. You know, Tibbs was deeper count guy. And this is not unique to these two. There's different categories and different styles of hitting. Jaime was a little bit more aggressive, probably not as deep in the count as often as maybe Tibbs was. So you see each of them probably in their own way continue to mature with their own approach. And, you know, Jaime was more disciplined and selective. And being aggressive is, that's a good trait, but sometimes swinging at or hitting pitchers' pitches early in the count when you're as capable as he is doesn't give him the most bang for his buck. So I think as the pitch selection and the discipline, you know, discipline is really a combination of aggressiveness and a degree of patience in there. That's what I saw out of Jaime. So I think you see the power production increase because what you're swinging at early in the count was probably better. The same with Cam. And Tibbs had that trait early on, I think, for Tibbs, you know, managing the left-handed pitcher and the emotions of the at-bat. He takes his at-bat so to heart that sometimes when it's not going well, like, you know, you see him get down on himself, where we just need to stay the course and stay positive and keep that intensity up pitch by pitch of every at-bat. there's very few that have power to all fields like he does. I've seen him stay on breaking balls from the lefties, handle changeups. Like, he checks every box in terms of a hitter that's moving themselves into the upper echelon of the game.
Marco Dingus was another guy this fall that seemed consistently to produce and create damage. Just when you guys brought him in from TCC, did you know that he had the level of power that he showed this fall? And just how impressed were you with his fall?
Yeah, you knew that was there, and the hit ability was there. Now, to all fields, that is what stood out the most to me. Like, he's driving balls out to right center field and left field. Like, the use of the field and the power to all fields is what stood out. And it is aggressive. It's out of the Ferrer type of at-bat, very aggressive. But he thinks through the at-bats. Like, he knows what he's trying to do. And I think as we've gone through the fall and we've done our work in the cage for the last several months, he's better for it. He's going to see pitching but those guys are going to be targeted. Now, in a good lineup, like, you can't really hopefully target two or three guys. Like, so we hope there's enough around those right-handed bats so that they can't be managed as easily as if they're kind of stuck there. So the variety and being able to plug those guys in and have lefties around them, it just makes it that much harder for people to match up out of the bullpen and gives them more opportunities to do damage.
And on the mound, I know you mentioned you guys aren't really getting into roles yet, but just how much do you like the variety of looks and the variety of what you have overall on the staff and the ability of some guys to do both things, start and relieve? Just what kind of luxury does that give you guys as a coach and staff going into the spring?
Well, versatility is huge, and so is starting length. So using the versatility, I guess, first of all, like, the variety you have, if the starters can really be consistently elite with what they're doing, it shortens the end of the game and lets you use your weapons to match up better to get 6, 9, 3 outs. So as we figure out how well the starters can get into these things and lengthen it out and shorten the back end of the game, you know, the better off we're going to be. The variety of some octane and horsepower is going to be fun to watch. Then you have some stuff out of the bullpen that I think will be difficult, especially in a matchup situation. And then you're going to have guys that need to be out of the bullpen that are not necessarily matchup type guys that can just go and get you 6 outs, whether it's right-handed hitters or left-handed hitters. So that's what we're going to try to figure out in the preseason. I think we're building up 8 guys to try to extend pitch counts. That doesn't mean all 8 of them start, but you want to try to build those pitch counts up, and you can always throttle back a little bit and turn those guys that have built the pitch counts up into guys that are capable of long or short relief. But the competition part of fighting for different roles is good, and you need it. A good pitching staff should have that. At the end of the day, you would like to run 4 or 5 good starting pitching candidates out there to lengthen it out, shorten up the back end of the game, give you a good Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Tuesday stuff, and then that just shortens the rest of it, and you hope you get 10 guys that chew up a bunch of innings for you, and that's how you build an elite staff. And hopefully with the group that we've seen, we have it. We've got to have, you know, Gavin and Leiter and Jamie Arnold, and, you know, we've seen Witt and Army do their thing. They're going to be better, but it's some of the younger guys and the new guys that we need to really, like, jump in there and be dominant forces. Dorsey, we see flashes of it. We need it to be very consistent, and Holtze with the breaking ball will be a true weapon. And then I think Noah Short and Ben Barrett, just a kind of a different look, especially Noah with the low slot, will help. So I like it where it goes when we hit the preseason. Hopefully they're healthy and we get into it and we can really see these guys lengthen out and dive into some deep, deep starts for us.
You guys were able to get the pitching lab up and running this fall. Just what did you see that do for the staff throughout the fall, and how excited are you to have it during the season for guys to utilize?
Well, Whitaker, after a couple sessions, like, coach, I've never learned so much about myself in settings on the mound. And you can try to, you know, move the the portable TrackMan around or Rapsodo. You can move those pieces that we had around, but the combination of the video running as the TrackMan data is loaded. So they throw a pitch, by the time they get it back from the catcher, it's essentially loaded and they can see it. So Mike and Rob can scrub back and watch how the changeup left their hands and look at the grip and the slider and even the fastball. Don't want to lose sight of the art of pitching when you're in there, but it has been remarkable. And when Whitaker said that, it let me know how much they appreciated the ability to see that on a daily basis when they throw. Now, they're not throwing pens every day, but it's there every day. Somebody's using it every day in some form or fashion. The strike zone, the grid that's on the TrackMan that gives you the exact location, like it kind of helps your catchers. It helps everybody. The setup, the targeting, the receiving, it helps those guys too. It's just awesome. And our Florida State Tech staff that helped install that, I mean, Rob was with the Houston Astros, and he said, "Coach, we didn't have anything this efficient and well put together with the Astros in the system." So it tells you where we are. And we work very hard, and people donated to our program, and we did it for a very reasonable cost. And, man, it's going to help the guys so much.
And you mentioned that the guys right now aren't here and kind of back at home doing their own thing. But when you do get to January, just what are those 6 or 7 weeks leading up to the season look like for you? And obviously you talked about having to define roles and stuff like that, but just what do those 6 or 7 weeks look like?
Health assessment, like, are we okay? Like, because you're starting to put the pitching, when you get back, like, you have to start to move this in certain directions. And how they look and feel when they come back, like, you've got to get that initial, all right, how are we doing? See the bullpens, make sure they're all good. And then you hope you can just continue to push with the planning that you had. So that's the biggest piece, is health of the arms. And it's the scariest thing for any college coach. You could ask anybody, this period of time when they're gone and you're hoping they throw their bullpens and they're long tossing, some of the guys don't have the best access to facilities and weather, and there's things that when they're here, it seems so simple. When they're not here, sometimes even though they try, they may not have the most adequate setup or have catchers. So just make sure we're good. The hitting, guys find their cages and ways to hit and lift and do their throwing. So it's the arms and legs, and it starts with the pitchers. Then you go positionally, all right, let's make sure those infielders and catchers, their legs are under them, their arms are under them. So you can kind of pick back up with doing the work that you were doing with them individually, like the last 2 or 3 weeks of the fall. So that's step one. Then as the scrimmages start, probably haven't been around something that's so going to be so competitive in terms of just fighting for starting roles. And I think what you're going to see is when we run out there to play on February 16th, you're going to see 9 guys run out there. But the ability to manipulate and make some moves and have options behind the plate, options in the infield, options in the outfield, clearly options on the mound, it's how they run out there the first day. Like, you're gearing for that, but that's not how it's going to look 5 innings into the first game, to be honest. So, yeah.
Appreciate it, Coach.
All right, Brett. Thank you.